Hare Krishna.
Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopijana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajak Acharya Ashtotara Shatashrimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki ISKCON Liberty Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivrajak Acharya Ashtotara Shatashrimad His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Lamacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास सदि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा गोपीनाथ गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रजभूमि वृंदावन धाम की नवद्वीप मायापुर धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगा माई की जमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories, all glories, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayamudhiraye Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu Nityam bhagvata sevaya Bhagavati uttama shloke Bhaktir bhavati naishtiki Krishnaya vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Namaha Pankajanabhaya Namaha Pankajamaline Namaha Pankajanetraya Namaste Pankajangri. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 12, Chapter entitled Birth of Emperor Parikshit, Verse Number 30. Sa esha loke vikyatha Parikshat iti yat prabhu Purvam drishtam anudhyayan Parikshet nareshva iha Sa esha loke vikhyatah Parikshit iti yat prabhu Purvam drishtam anudhyayan Parikshet nareshva iha Sa esha loke vikhyatah Parikshet iti yat prabhu Purvam drishtam anudhyayan Parikshet nareshva iha Sa esha loke vikhyatah Mataji.
So we'll go for the word to word meaning. Saha, he, esha, in this, loke, world, vikyataha, famous, parikshit, one who examines, iti, thus, yat, what, prabhu, O my king, purvam, before, drishtam, seen, anudhyayan, constantly contemplating, parikshetam, shall examine, nareshu, unto every man, iha, here. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. So His son would become famous in the world as Parikshit, examiner, because he would come to examine all human beings in his search after that personality whom he saw before his birth. Thus, he would come to constantly contemplate him. Purport. Maharaj Parikshit, fortunate as he was, got the impression of the Lord even in the womb of his mother, and thus his contemplation on the Lord was constantly with him. Once the impression of the transcendental form of the Lord is fixed in one's mind, one can never forget him in any circumstance. Child Parikshit, after coming out of the womb, was in the habit of examining everyone to see whether he was the same personality whom he first saw in the womb. But no one could be equal to or more attractive than the Lord, and therefore he never accepted anyone. But the Lord was constantly with him by such examination, and thus Maharaj Parikshit was always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord by remembrance. Srila Jiva Goswami remarks in this connection that every child, if given an impression of the Lord from his very childhood, certainly becomes a great devotee of the Lord like Maharaj Parikshit. One may not be as fortunate as Maharaj Parikshit to have the opportunity to see the Lord in the womb of his mother. But even if he is not so fortunate, he can be made so if the parents of the children desire him to be so. There is a practical example in my personal life in this connection. My father was a pure devotee of the Lord, and when I was only 4 or 5 years old, my father gave me a couple of forms of Radha and Krishna. In a playful manner, I used to worship these deities along with my sister, and I used to imitate the performances of a neighboring temple of Radha Govind. By constantly visiting this neighboring temple and copying the ceremonies in connection with my own deities of play, I developed a natural affinity for the Lord. My father used to observe all the ceremonies befitting my position. Later on, these activities were suspended due to my association in the schools and colleges, and I became completely out of practice. But in my youthful days, when I met my spiritual master, Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, again I revived my old habit, and the same playful deities became my worshipful deities in proper regulation. This was followed up until I left the family connection, and I am pleased that my generous father gave the first impression, which was developed later into regulative devotional service by His Divine Grace Maharaj Prahlad, also advised that such impressions of a godly relation must be impregnated from the beginning of childhood.
Otherwise, one may miss the opportunity of the human form of life, which is very valuable, although it is temporary like others. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakhayam Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalitam Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpati Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabho Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. In the first place, let me seek the blessings of all the devotees, those here and those online. It is only by your grace, your prayers, blessings, that the Lord can bestow His grace by which I may be able to speak something meaningful, especially for my own purification. And let me also acknowledge very gratefully and graciously the inputs that have been given to me for whatever I may try to attempt to speak by His grace, Radhika Vallabh Prabhu, and His grace, Pavaneshwar Prabhu. So today's purport the translation itself it's mentioned that he saw the Lord in the womb of his mother even before his birth. And Prabhupada also specially mentions the early impressions that one gets during one's childhood will last for the entire duration of one's life, even though temporarily there may be a break in the practices of the spirituality that the person may have been started with, but those impressions become permanent, like impressions on wet cement. They remain even when the cement dries up, the same way. Now, the human body is such a big mystery. Modern science, and medical science particularly, has advanced so much that they have found so many cures for so many problems, and there are so many methods and gadgets of ascertaining what is going on inside the body. You have endoscope, you have CT scan, you have MRI, you have X-ray, you have sonography. With all these, they are able to penetrate and find out what's happening inside, what is the state of affairs inside. But modern science cannot touch what is happening within the mind of another person. And especially what is going on in the mind of the little child developing as an embryo within the womb of the mother. But then we can see scriptures are bold enough to mention these factors authentically. The reason is scriptures, it is said, are nothing but word of God. And God is the very creator. And who knows the creation better than the creator? So therefore, he can say with authenticity. And when he says, one has to accept. But there is a hitch over there. Not everybody will accept the words of the scriptures. Some people say, it is not bona fide. It cannot be experimentally verified. What is the proof? Now, therefore, until and unless one develops faith in the scriptures, until and unless one is guided by a bona fide spiritual master, until and unless one has the spirit of inquiry within him as to arrange and as to arrive at the absolute truth, the Lord will not reveal the truth, even though one may read books after books. The revelation has to come by the Lord in the heart. And that directly depends upon the sincerity and the seriousness with which one is approaching the subject. So yes, it becomes subjective, and it also depends upon what the Lord wishes to do. He is the ultimate authority. He wishes to, he will reveal to the person. After reading the same paragraph, one person will say, I am fully satisfied. The other person will say, this is trash, I don't accept it. These kind of converse, divergent opinions can emerge because of how that individual approach, person is approaching the subject matter. So here, why am I mentioning all these things? Because the topic of discussion today is what is happening within the womb. And so, it is something a little bit controversial from this point of view. But if you understand the science behind it, then there is no controversy. The words of the scriptures are actually bona fide. Now, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, chapter 31, verse number 9. I will go to the translation directly. The translation of this verse is, the child thus remains like a bird in a cage, without freedom of movement. At that time, if the child is fortunate, he can remember all the troubles of his past 100 births, and he grieves wretchedly. What is the possibility of peace of mind in that condition? This verse directly explains the thought process of the child. And it is said from the scriptures only we can know this, otherwise we cannot ascertain it. That from the 7th month in the womb, the consciousness of the child begins to develop. That is why it is at that time the Shimanto Nayanam ceremony is performed. And even the Garbhadhana Sanskar is performed even before conception. All these things are in line with the development of the embryo within the womb. That is the time when consciousness begins to develop. The purport after that of this verse also mentions, after birth, the child forgets about the difficulties of his past life. Therefore, what has the Lord done? He has revealed something, then he has also given forgetfulness. Matah smritir jnanam apohanam cha. But the Lord has given Guru, Sadhu and Shastra for us to consciously approach and gain such knowledge. So there is a method by which we can use our intelligence, we can use our faculties, we can use our abilities, and we can use our spirit of inquiry. And if you seek, you will find. These are the words of the Bible. Seek and thou shalt find. So, the Lord has made arrangements. In the context of today's verse, the story is Krishna entered the womb of Uttara to save Parikshit from the Brahmastra shot by Ashwatthama. Though the heat of the weapon burnt the body, Krishna, the all-potent, revived the same and gave a new lease of life to Parikshit within the womb itself. What Krishna can do, and whether or not he will do, when he will do, where he will do, is all beyond the scope of our understanding and prediction or speculation. All that we can say is, Krishna is inconceivable, beyond our intelligence, beyond our understanding, beyond our reach, but yet within the grasp of our heart. If you approach him sincerely, with in a helpless mood, then he is there for each and every individual. So what is this inconceivability of Krishna? I try to put it in a few words. Krishna has no limit. It's better if you know it. Submit and admit that you cannot outwit. And if you still persist, you just cannot exist. Father of Prahlad and Ravan did try and ended in the pan like the proverbial fry. So lock up your reason and pack up your ego, bring up your faith and in the holy name bathe. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Our intelligence is only a tool to earn our livelihood. Our intelligence is not to relate to God. You cannot do it with your intelligence. You need a higher faculty and that is faith. But from where does faith come? It comes in the association of devotees. It comes by the repeated chanting of the holy name, because the holy name is not different from the Lord himself. So by the process of chanting, one can associate with the Lord directly. And therefore it is a highly recommended process, especially for this age of Kali, as recommended by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Coming back to the womb experience, we know of Prahlad Maharaj. He heard Narad Muni in his mother Kayadu's womb. Narad was the well-wisher of everybody and strategically spoke about the knowledge of God, Srimad Bhagavatam, to the unborn child in the womb of Kayadu, who was Hiranyakashipu's wife. Kayadu was focused on meditating on her husband's return while she was pregnant. But the child within attentively heard and grasped the knowledge of devotional service coming from Narad Muni. The result was, he began to preach and spoke fearlessly and with full conviction of Lord Vishnu's glories, even as a young boy of 5. So see, this spiritual education can start right in the womb, even before one's birth. Sukhdev Maharaj was in his mother's womb for more than 16 years. He didn't come out at all. Why? Because he said, I don't want to be captured by Maya. I don't want to enter this material environment. And Vyasdev had to speak to the child inside the womb. Come out, my son. Ghar se nikal ke aa bhai. He's telling him. But then what did the child from the womb reply? He said, I want full assurance that I will not be touched by the illusory potency that is Maya. He said, I will assure you. He said, no, you are already in grahasthi. You are not beyond the scope of Maya. Then whom do you want? I want Krishna himself. Then Vyasdev actually went to Dwarka. He invited Krishna. Krishna came and spoke to the child within the womb. And then he came out. But how did he come out? As a small child only, even after 16 years. But then what happened? That is something very divine. Just within a gap of 48 minutes. 48 minutes is known as one muhurta. The time unit muhurta is 48 minutes. And within that 48 minutes, that child grew to the age of 16. And he was a fine young man. But then he had the wisdom of the knowledge of God within him, even at that point of time. And he had no attachment to worldly things, to family, to father, to mother. And he started walking and Vyasdev started running behind him and chasing him. My son, please come back. But he was indifferent. Then he said, okay, And at that time, one more thing happened. There were some girls who were bathing in the river without their clothes. And when Sukhdev Goswami, young boy of 16, was walking, they didn't feel the need to cover themselves. But when Vyasadev came chasing him, they covered themselves. And he asked them, why is it so? They said, Sukhdev Goswami, though he is 16 years old, he is innocent as a child. And a lady does not want to cover herself in front of a newborn child because of the state of mind of that child. But you are a grahastha, and therefore we need to follow the proper etiquettes. And at that stage, Sukhdev Goswami was a Brahmavadi. Though he had faith in Krishna and God, but he was still a Brahmavadi. It is only then that by the strategy of Vyasadev that Sukhdev Goswami was made to hear the Bhagavatam a few verses. Then he was attracted, he came, he learned from his father and later on went down to speak the Bhagavatam to Parikshit Maharaj. Vyasadev himself was born to Satyavati and Parashar in the island. That is why in the Dvaipa in our Vyasa, that is his name. He was born in an island. And he also, immediately after his birth, he grew up to be 16 years old, just in one Muhurta time. Because they are special souls who have come to this world with a mission. They have not come to suffer the reactions of karma like us. But they have come to bring the message of God to the people of the world and to help the Lord in his pastimes. And Vyasadeva, it is said, is a literary incarnation of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, in the view of all these things, we understand that Garbhadhana Samskar and all this Shrimanto Nayana and so many other Samskara, even when the child is born, the Jataka Samskar, all these things become very, very important. It is a place, the womb is a place where no man can ever go. In that Star Trek, there was a very famous serial, and there was this statement, exploring the frontiers where no man has ever gone. But the womb is such a place where no man can ever go. But the Lord is a person who can go anywhere. For him there are no restrictions. In the purport of this particular verse that we just read today, Prabhupada has made a very valuable statement, and that is, once the transcendental form of the Lord is fixed in the mind, one can never forget him in any circumstance. Therefore, Parikshit was searching for that rare sight, examined everybody almost involuntarily, and through his life, like the Goswamis of Vrindavan, that made him perfectly Krishna conscious. Because at every moment of his life, he was searching for that form of the Lord which he had seen within the womb. And that is what Jiva Goswami also has remarked in the same purport, that every child, if given an impression of the Lord from his early childhood, certainly becomes a great devotee of the Lord, like Maharaj Parikshit. Here Prabhupada has explained his own example. What does he say? That as a child, his father gave him dolls of Radha and Krishna to play. And he was observing his father, how he was worshipping the Lord within his house. And he was also observing how the Lord was worshipped in the neighboring Radha Govind temple. And so, because he was introduced to this deity worship right from the childhood, he started playing with the deities. He was not worshipping, but he was playing with the deities, imitating the worship that his father was doing at home. And so he was already introduced to deity worship in a playful manner. But then he says, later on in life, when he got contact with his spiritual master, then he started worshipping the deities in a proper way with regulations. So there is a statement in Marathi which says, Mulat aslela phalat yeto. That is, what is there in the root will come in the fruit. So, it is said that Prabhupada as a child organized Rath Yatra. That was actually like a trailer of what he was going to do in his future life. Prabhupada, he actually, we can say, distributed the system of Rath Yatra throughout the world. He said, Lord Jagannath is the Lord of the universe, the Lord of the world. He is not simply Odianath. So, he lifted this process and gave it to the whole world. And then Prabhupada has made a very important remark in the purport. And what is that? He says, when he came to school and college, his spiritual activities were suspended. Due to my association in school and college, today's education is a system of like the slaughterhouse of spirituality. This is Prabhupada's words. He says, modern education is a slaughterhouse of spirituality. We see in our own temple, in the congregation in which we are moving, we see in our interaction with the children who come to this temple, they are very obedient when they come with their parents as small toddlers, and as they grow up and they come and participate in all the devotional activities, they recite the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, they sing the Narsing Aarti, they dance in the Kirtan, they do all these things, they regularly enjoy prasad, they take Saranamrit. But when they come to standard 9th, standard 10th, then what happens? They are just vacuumed away from devotional practices. And they are fully engrossed in their academic studies. They have no time for this. And then they are sucked into the whirlpool, so to say, of career building. They want to build their careers. Very fortunate few, they pursue their Krishna consciousness through the career building stage. But the early form often gives them a strong foundation and character base for their future. It is therefore very important to run programs for children and invest in them, because they are the future. And if that seed is planted in them in their childhood stage, then it is only a question of time before the seed will sprout and the tree of devotion will grow in their heart. In this context, I remember one incident that happened. Not an incident, it's a thing that happened over a period of time. There was one family, we would call them as the Parshuram family, because the gentleman's name was Parshuram. His wife was a Carnatic music singer. She was an All India Radio artist. They were staying in Chembur. So they would come to our house because we stay in this area, and from here they would go to All India Radio station at Marine Drive. But then he had 4 children, 1 daughter and 3 sons. He was a member of the Shanmukhananda Fine Arts Sabha. So every Sunday when they had programs, he would take these 4 children, and these children would sleep in the seats. They would not understand what's happening on the stage. Some performances would happen, some classical vocal recital would take place, some dance would take place, and some percussion instruments would be played. Children were oblivious of all these things, but he made it a point to carry them and make them just sit there. And he said, by giving them this exposure, they will develop a taste for music. And that is what happened. These children grew up, they started academically performing very well. But side by side, they pursued their music, and later on they became famous as a musical family. They started giving stage performances, and they were invited not only in India but all over the world. And so, it is crucial that what you give exposure to the child during the childhood, parenting. So this point is very nicely dealt with in this purport, and so we understand. Similarly, in my own house, I remember the training that our mother gave us in the devotional practices has really stood us in good stead in our later life. I never knew at that time that she was reading Bhagavatam, but every day she would read Bhagavatam. And how was it? It was a handwritten copy in Malayalam script. But the language was Tamil. And she had copied it from her mother. This was the system in the village. Every daughter would copy the Bhagavatam from the mother and they would recite it in their daily life. Every day a little bit. And there's one sentence that she would recite, which I would like to repeat now. It is in Tamil. But then, it so much corroborates all that we are doing in the temple. This Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, how important it is. And that it says this. Kali Yugatil Karma Millai Karmatal Moksha Millai Krishna Rama Yendra Kirtanangal Panninnal Kirtanatana Like Kalapikarayerum. So this was the sentence and this was the tune in which he would sing the Bhagavatam. But what is the meaning of this? Kali Yuga Til Karma Millai. In Kali Yuga, there is nothing by karma you cannot actually cross over the ocean. Just by performing good karma, you cannot attain salvation. Karmatal Moksha Millai. Krishna Rama Yendra Kirtanangal Panninal. Only if you chant the holy names of Krishna and Rama. Only by that you can cross over the material ocean of material existence and go to the shore of spirituality where you can encounter God. So just see, this is exactly what we are being taught and this is exactly what we are doing over here. But this, at that time there was no ISKCON when she was young. ISKCON was founded in 1966. And her childhood days, much before during the British rule, they were all in the village. So, but these practices, how they have come through that generation, we have received this in our legacy. And I am fortunate, I got exposure in ISKCON. And when I was started all these practices, then I could relate. That just see, what has come in tradition is ultimately so valuable. But the greatness of ISKCON is, things are explained over here. It is not just mechanical. You explain the whole thing, as His Grace Radha Gopinath Prabhu always says. It is not what you do, but you should know why you do what you do. That is the point. Prabhupada globalized this philosophy of reading Bhagavatam on a daily basis through the institution of ISKCON. Prabhupada internalized this knowledge and therefore he was able to internationalize this knowledge. That is his greatness. And then the impression. Just see the importance of impression. Dhruva got the advice to worship Lord Narayan from his mother. He was a tender boy of 5 years old. But he could not take the insult. I am not going into the story, we all know it. But he could not take the insult. So he vowed to have a kingdom greater than that of Brahma, his great-grandfather. But he said, who will help me? His mother said, Narayan can help you. So, he said, where to look for Narayan? She said, he is to be found in the forest where yogis and rishis, they engage in austerities, tapasya. The boy, without a second thought, walked into the forest. And when somebody is sincere and serious, the Lord in the heart will take notice of it. It doesn't need a Google search to find a guru. So Narad Muni came across this little boy and started persuading him, you are just a boy, go back to the palace. Forget it. The insult of your father is no insult at all. It is just child's play. You should be in the palace. Forest is not a place for children to be. Wild animals, insects, you can't even sit peacefully. You will be bitten by mosquitoes. So go back. And you are a royal prince. Your life is in the palace. He said, either you tell me where to find Narayan or get out of my way. He was so determined in his approach. And when Narad Muni was testing him and he found that here is a person who is determined, then he gave him the process of tapasya. And what happened? Dhruva, he followed the process and he could see the Lord within the heart. He meditated and in that meditation, he could actually see the entire beautiful Chaturbhuj form of Lord Vishnu. And he was captivated by that beautiful form of the Lord. Now the Lord decided to come in front of him and reveal himself. The Lord came in front of him. But this boy was focusing on the Lord in the heart. He was not opening his eye. Narayan had to wake him up. he would not get up. So he said, okay, now I will withdraw the vision that he is having within his heart. So he withdrew that vision. And when he withdrew that vision, suddenly, out of shock, he opened his house. Where did the Lord go? And he saw the Lord standing in front of him, Sakshat. Sakshat means seeing with his own eyes. And he was dumbfounded. What would happen to you if this happened? Just imagine. We feel seeing Lord is so distant, we never give a second thought to it. But if the Lord chooses and He wants to reveal Himself, He can come in front of anybody at any time. And if this happened to us, what would happen to us? We would be literally paralyzed. And that is what happened to Dhruva. He was dumbfounded. He didn't know what to do. And then the Lord, out of His mercy, He touched his head with the conch shell. Conch shell is the sign of knowledge. And the Lord blows the conch. He is actually impregnating the knowledge of the Vedas within our heart. So then, Dhruva started reciting wonderful prayers. And then the Lord asked, Chalo, business ki baat karte hain. He said, I have come to give you benediction for all the austerities you have performed. Tell me, what do you want? And what did Dhruva say at that point in time? He said, Sthan abhilashi tapaso sthito aham. Tvam prapvan devamuni indra guhyam. Kanchin vichinnam api divya ratnam. Swami krithartho asmi varam na yache. So what did he say? I was very, very attached to a great kingdom. Sthan. I wanted a position. Abhilashi. Tapaso sthito aham. Then I actually undertook this austerity, tapasya. But you are unavailable even for the devatas and the rishis and the munis. Now you have come in front of me. But look at me, now I realize what was I searching for, what was I asking for? Kanchin vichinnam. I was looking for broken pieces of glasses. Then he says, Api divya ratnam, but you are the most valuable jewel. Now that I have seen you, my Lord, I have no other desires left in my heart. I do not want anything more than this. This is all that I need. Just your darshan and your presence and your association. But the Lord nevertheless gave him a kingdom greater than that of Brahma. That was the Dhruva Loka. It is an embassy of the spiritual world within this material world. That is what he gave him. And he ruled over it for a long duration of time. Is it 36,000 years? I'm not very sure. But anyway, he did that. And then ultimately, he went back to the spiritual abode. And when he went back, so, the young age, Dhruva, when he was so desperately looking for shelter and for help, his mother gave him the name of Lord Narayan. And he was completely, he accepted it. And then he acted on it. And the result was, he came face to face with the Lord. And the result of coming face to face with the Lord is, you become perfect. You perfect your life. All the unwanted anarthas go away. And only the virtues remain in you. Krishna haya surya sama maya haya andakar. Yaha Krishna taha nahi mayara adhikar. So many anarthas are lost within our heart. But if we are able to establish direct contact with the Lord, and that is what we try to do on a daily basis by chanting the holy name, then gradually these anarthas go out and we become purified. So this is the process that has been given to us. In this purport, what Prabhupada has said is reconfirmed in the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, verse number 15. What does Prabhupada say? What is the translation and that purport over there? In that particular verse, it is said, Savai Bhagavato Raja Pandevayayo Maharatha Balakridana Kaikridan Krishna Kridamya Adate. Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of Pandavas, was from his very childhood a great devotee of the Lord. Even while playing with the dolls, he used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity. Exactly like what Prabhupada also had a similar experience. So he says, we had chance of being born in a Vaishnava family, and in our childhood, we imitated the worship of Lord Krishna. My father, he says, encouraged Rath Yatra, Dola Yatra, spent money liberally for prasadam, etc. And also, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur got inspiration from Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Mirabai was a staunch devotee of the Lord from her very childhood. Narad Muni was son of a maid servant. By the association of Mahabhagavatas, he became a celebrated bhakta. So, some may be Nitya Siddhas, but all can become sadhana siddhas simply by adopting bhakti. This bhakti can go from the womb to the tomb. Samadhis of great acharyas like Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami are also very potent places to go and pray. And that is what Prabhupada did. Prabhupada constantly prayed at the samadhi of Rupa Goswami, begging him to give him the strength and the ability to go to the West and preach to fulfill the mission of his spiritual master. And Rupa Goswami actually appeared in his dream and gave him direct instructions. You go to the West, you go to the US and you preach this message in English. And it is then that Prabhupada embarked on the journey with the blessings of the senior acharyas. And then, what is real education? The word is educari, Latin word. What does it mean? To draw out what is within. There is butter in the milk. But you cannot get butter simply by pouring milk. You have to churn the milk. When you churn the milk, the butter is released from the milk and it comes out. So real education is to bring out love of God, which is in the heart of every individual, to churn it and to release it. And that is real education, giving devotion to God. And that is what was given in the Gurukul system of education. But in the present system of education, the whole subject is left aside. And we are only focusing on academics of material topics. And therefore, it is dry as dust, without the juice of devotion in it. So therefore it is said, so what is the solution for us today? We are in this system. We can't suddenly break away from this system. So yes, gain the academic material knowledge from schools and colleges, but make the best of the bad bargain by coming to a place like ISKCON and so many other organizations where genuine spirituality is cultivated and given. Expose your children to this culture right from their childhood. And then what will happen? And then you will be able to give them that spiritual content which is very, very important for that for their proper growth and development and for realizing the real value of human life and making their life valuable and worth living. So, this is ISKCON culture. So therefore in our own temple, it's very important for us to arrange program for children and give them the feeling that this temple is also for me. I have got something there. They must be able to relate to it. And when they cultivate that kind of understanding about the temple, then they will be drawn to the temple. And even through the period of the testing period of their life, they will be able to come and take shelter of the Supreme Lord and thus be able to be relieved of so many traps that are there in the modern system where people are deviated from the path of real devotion and they settle for lesser things and ultimately they really don't get the real value and the real benefit that they are supposed to get. How does this chanting help us? So there is a nice analogy. Our mind is like the milk. The Mahamantra is the churning rod. The rope that is used to churn the rod, that is the mala, the jap mala that we hold. And this, we turn it around when we come to the end of the mala and go back to the last bead and again come to the first bead. So it is bidirectional churning. It is not unidirectional. You don't go on churning in one direction. The mixie does that. It churns only in one direction. And what is the result? the essence is left out in it. And therefore we have the system of hand-churned milk and hand-churned butter. When you have hand-churned butter, that have got all the Ayurvedic properties in it. Chanting is the churning process. And what is that butter that comes out? That is love of God. That is the butter that comes out of the milk. And Krishna only wants your love. So Krishna comes and steals the butter. So that's why Krishna is butter thief. So what is that butter signifying? It is the love of your heart. And Krishna wants that love. And so he comes and takes it. So this is the process of chanting. And this is how it can really help us. If we follow it in the proper manner, attentively chant, then that love of God which is in our heart, that is released and it comes out to the surface, and then we are able to engage in devotional service. What is service? Service is nothing but reciprocation of the love or expression of the love in action. So when you love somebody, you want to serve that person. Mother loves the child, she serves the child 24 hours. So that is exactly what we are told. Ahaituki apratihata. Uninterruptedly serve the Lord. So how do you serve? Without any interruption, without any break. So there is no Sunday in devotion. Every day is the day for devotional service. There is no holiday in this. Therefore, a humble position is, yeah, that is right. So there are so many points. And there is a method of contemplation on the Lord that is given in the Canto 3, verse number, chapter number 28. There is a whole topic in it and time is limited, so we will not be able to go into it. But I would certainly like you to go home and read it. Canto 3, chapter 28, characteristics and the effect of meditation on the individual limbs of the Lord. There are so many things that are mentioned over there, but I will just go to the last point over there. Just in order to touch upon it. And that is, so many limbs of the Lord are there and so many facets of the Lord are there. So the last facet is the laughter of the Lord. What is the effect of the laughter of the Lord? It is captivating the heart of the individual when you just see the Lord laughing. And especially in a small child form, the small teeth, they look like buds, small buds. And like pearls. So, and then it is explained that these small bead-like teeth of the Lord, they are rosy in color. Their color becomes rosy because the Lord's lips are rose in color, reddish rose. But then, what is the transcendental form of the Lord? That we have to understand. It is not like ours. Light is emanating from the lotus lips of the Lord, and that color of that hue of that rosy pink, it is actually giving reflected on that beautiful small teeth, and that also shines like pink pearls. That is the beauty. That is how it is described very graphically. So therefore, when you understand to contemplate on the Lord, you will actually see the transcendental form of the Lord within your heart by practice. But even if you don't have to, even if you don't do that, by just reading the Bhagavatam and trying to understand, our heart will go in that direction and will get automatically purified. So, Maharaj Parikshit is one such great personality who has taught us how to live this life and how to leave this world. By his example. So, I am just trying to summarize the whole thing, that the topic of this chapter and the topic of this verse also. So, Maharaj Parikshit was not just an emperor of the world outside, but more so of his world inside. Because he was controlled inside, he could control the world outside. He had seen the Lord in his mother's womb. The Lord's grace and beauty were unmatched. Throughout his life, he looked for him, examined every one he saw. Pariksha was what he did do. So Pariksha came his name to be. He excelled the exam of his life and taught us how to leave this world. Arjuna taught us how to live. Parikshit taught us how to leave. From front and back, from left and right, they both have taught us just the same, that Krishna is your Lord and Master. Always be absorbed in Him. Till it is your time to depart, to please the Lord, please play your part. When it is your time to depart, do not look back, get up and start. For those attached to this world, death is painful, not welcome. But for those attached to God, it is the sweet embrace of Lord. He saw the Lord before His birth. Throughout His life, He searched for Him. Death came to Him as a sweet embrace in answer to His lifelong call. He surrendered to the Lord's sweet will. Death simply came and just stood still. Parikshit Maharaj is not dead. His glories are, it is unending said. Now we pray at His lotus feet to bless us all and in His prayers keep. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna. I think it is time up. So, thank you very much for a patient hearing.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram.